Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of In Depth with Stephen Strang. I try to probe and get to the bottom of the story, to pull out answers that will give my readers and my listeners insight into people who are significant. I ask them about how they got saved, how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how they met their spouses. I try to dig down and get them to talk about things that are important, their successes, their failures, because even though these people are well known, even though they have their own media platforms, they don't often have an opportunity to talk about this side of their life. So I'm inviting you to tune in, to download, to listen, and to share In Depth with Stephen Strang. There are a couple of big news stories this week. One is President Trump being in Vietnam, negotiating again for the second time with Kim Jong-un. And at the same time, wouldn't you know, Congress is interviewing Michael Cohen, the disgraced former lawyer for President Trump, who has committed perjury. But they've interviewed him, and all eyes are glued to the TV on what he has to say. Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang. And today is my privilege to have an in-depth interview with my longtime friend, Frank Amedia. And we're going to talk about Michael Cohen. Now, Frank is a very interesting person. He and I actually first met at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, believe it or not. We were both over there, and we had mutual friends and, you know, how you meet people. Little did I know how much our lives would cross since then. And when Donald Trump announced for president, it was Frank Amedia who was the first person that I knew who said that God was raising him up to be president. Now, over time, I came to know that there are other people who are prophesying the same thing. But God used Frank in a very interesting way. And as a result, he's become kind of an insider, knowing a lot of things. And he knows Michael Cohen. So let me welcome you, Frank. Thank you for taking time. I know a lot's going on right now. But how long have you actually known Michael Cohen?
Thanks, Steve. It's good to talk to you as always. I was first introduced to Michael during the campaign in March of 2016. And since then, we had a lot of interaction right up until June of 2017, when he began to obviously make this abrupt change in his loyalties and in his convictions.
And during that period of time, of course, you and I were talking on the phone a lot about Donald Trump. Back then, I was actually supporting Ted Cruz. And when Ted Cruz dropped out in May, of course, I switched over. And I was trying to get an interview with Donald Trump, probably in around July, and actually got the interview on August 11th. And during that period, I got a call from Michael Cohen. And I've never publicly talked about it because it's very ambiguous in my mind. I was a little bit surprised to get a call from somebody in the Trump organization. I remember thinking, oh, it's nice to have a contact that I can call. I remember his name because my grandson's first name, his given name, is Cohen. And I mentioned that to Michael, and I remember it as just being a pleasant chat. I'm not real sure why he called, except that we talked about Israel and how strong Donald Trump was for Israel. And I guess Michael Cohen had heard I was for Israel. Nothing ever really came of it. But later on, when he became so widely known in the news, I remembered mentioning to my wife that I had talked to him. Now, this was long before he turned into a traitor. So let's talk about that. What do you think made him make this about face?
Well, it's pretty evident to me. I have to give you some background in that. But Michael and I got very involved right away, starting in March. And in April, Michael formed the National Diversity Coalition, Trump. And one of the principals in that organization in helping to formulate it is Reverend Daryl Scott, who you know well, and my dear friend from Cleveland. And Daryl recruited me right away. And so I was at the top of the core leadership with him in it. And of course, it was structured to bring a whole diverse group in, not necessarily Christians, Muslims, Hindus, a strong group of diverse people who the common thread was conservative values, love of the country, and need for a transformation and a change, abrupt one from what had happened the previous 8 years. Michael, heading that up, was very involved with us, and that's when I first began to know Michael. And since then, he and I got involved in multiple things. I helped to put a rally together, a faith rally in Cleveland. In fact, those pictures still circulate with him, myself, Mr. Trump at the time, Daryl, and some others. And we brought faith leaders in. And this was when momentum was building, but we needed a shift and a change. And Hannity came. And it was a real pivotal point in the campaign that we helped to pull off. And then after the election, Michael and I stayed pretty close. And he asked me to help with a personal matter for the family on a pastoral basis, all above board, nothing dramatic, just some assistance. And he was the family lawyer in it. And we were very involved for a period of time in March and April of 2017, successfully so, where we spent countless hours on the phone, hours together, hours in meetings, hours in pulling off what the assignment was to get done. And then I stayed in touch with him up until he was raided. And he lost his phones. He lost his contacts. I couldn't reach him. His files were taken. His accounts were seized, literally paralyzed and dropped to his knees, Steve. And that's when I now perceive and discern that a move was made. And in essence, that's why I'm releasing this video that'll be released by the weekend. And basically, I'm saying the real truth behind Michael Cohen, the devil's in the details. And the details are this. Michael, is no way does he believe that Donald Trump's a racist in his heart. I can assure you that. Nobody can make a pivotal change and sell something one way and then the other way where they had tears in their eyes during the campaign, and then all of a sudden he's so bitter and strong. And for example, there's a speech that's been released that he gave back then, and we used it a lot. And in it, these were his words. He said, "I've lost count as to how many times the disgusting liberal mainstream media have attempted to label Mr. Donald Trump a racist, a xenophobe, and a bigot." And then Cohen added at that time, "As the son of a Holocaust survivor, it's hard to sit back. Actually, it's morally wrong to sit back and do nothing when someone who you know, someone who you hold in great esteem and truly care about is being so viciously attacked day in and day out. Not only is Donald Trump not a racist," Cohen said, "but he believes that all people are part of one race, the human race." See, when I contemplated that again and watched him in the hearings, I said this man was literally speaking to myself and the others of us who were involved that it would be morally wrong for us not to speak out. And so I made a decision to share some of the inside stuff I know, careful not to cross the lines on a pastoral basis, but at the same time being very pointed. Now, Steve, as you know, I had some meetings with then candidate Donald Trump that were personal. A few people involved in one, and just myself and another man and another in Pittsburgh and in the Trump Towers. And I can tell you at every one of those meetings, he's been consistent from then until now, certainly not a racist. So the charge that he's a racist, a con man, a cheat, I'm just having a hard time contrasting the two Michael Cohens that I've come to know now. This Michael Cohen was so invested personally, emotionally, and morally into Donald Trump and the need for him to become president, that this contrast wouldn't make sense unless you consider these things. Michael was, in essence, bankrupt in 2017 in June when they seized everything. Not only were his assets at risk, his father-in-law's assets were at risk. His family fiber was torn apart. He didn't have anywhere to fall back on. He was embittered and distraught from the time that the transition was made. He was asked to leave the Trump Organization during that transition. So he found himself on January 1 having to find a new office in New York City. He hung a shingle with a law firm, but he told me that really was just for that purpose only. But he was retained as the president's personal lawyer and the family's personal lawyer. Now, we see a check for $35,000 that's being paraded all around the place as proof of being hush money and hush money only. I can't speak to that, but I can speak to this. Steve, you know how expensive a New York City attorney can be. I'm not going to slam that profession, but we've all had to pay at times in our lives. And I spent hours and hours with Michael on some personal family business, and I'm sure it wasn't pro bono. And I have no doubt he was retained by the president. Now, retainers that are monthly pay an amount, and a lot of times they don't specify the exact work being done, but when that amount's used up, you bill for more or you have a lump sum deal. Now, unless he's producing some expenses for additional work that he did for the family, other than that which he's claiming was all Stormy Daniels hush money, then on the face of it, it's wrong. And secondly, how does he justify all the time and money he spent that I was involved with on only one family matter, including travel and expenses? I didn't get any expenses. I didn't charge any time. Mine was all pastoral. Never in the campaign have I taken one penny for anything. And so I can say I'm independent, but he can't say that. He was an employee, and then he was retained after that. So I see on the face of it that that is just wrong. Now, secondly, he claims that he wasn't asking for a job in the White House. I know that he was embittered about it. He told me, and he told us publicly that he was upset to be left behind, and he couldn't understand why he was, and that the people around the president weren't loyal like him, and they wouldn't last. He taught me the three strike, you're out rule with Trump. And he said some of them are on two strikes and soon they're going to be out. And as he would call him, the boss will be relying upon me again. So the fact that he said he never wanted to be in there, that is absolutely not true. So now, Steve, here is the million-dollar question. And literally, it's a million-dollar question. Why would Michael flip so radically? Well, he was desperate. 2017, June. The world crumbled around him. The president had to stay away from him. What they came in upon him wasn't about Donald Trump. It was about other things that he had done that they discovered. The charges that he's pled guilty to weren't about Donald Trump. They're about other things that he has done. He said in his testimony, clearly he has no proof about Russian collusion, but he has suspicions, which we all know where that comes from. That's a mentality of witchcraft. And he basically vindicated the president in all of the areas that they were trying to nail him with. And now he's trying to point to inner workings of the business, which I find to be a tremendous conflict for your own personal attorney in itself. But that being said, why? What happened? Well, consider this, Stephen. There's a man named that got involved with him, and we've seen his name all the way through, Lanny Davis. Who is Lanny Davis? Well, Lanny Davis, as one article's written, said he's a veteran Washington spin maestro, a Democrat operative who for most of his adult life fashioned himself as a Clinton insider, a warrior, served the White House counsel during Bill Clinton's crises, and then a surrogate for Hillary's campaign. And Davis, who's a mutual friend and an insider of the Clintons, he's a Clintonian, all of a sudden ends up connected with Michael Cohen while Michael Cohen's completely out in the dark with no help from anybody. There's a little statement that was made. Davis commented when they asked, how did you get connected with Cohen? This was over a year ago. He says, a mutual friend, he has sworn not to name. He has sworn not to name connected them. Stephen, doesn't that sound like the deep state all over again?
It sure does.
And here's what happened. They got connected by this link. Well, this link evidently had some influence with the Southern District Court, which he needed a lot of help with. They were slamming him down. They were the ones used to go and make the raid by Mueller. Mueller turned it over to them. And wouldn't it be interesting if that introduction wasn't made through either the Southern District or through Mueller? Or how about McCabe? Or how about the deep people that seem to be stringing the same web? All of a sudden, they get a man desperate. And all of a sudden, maybe you're not going to go down for 30 years or 25 years. Maybe there's a way where we don't seize all of your assets, all of your father-in-law's assets. Maybe there's a way where your family can be taken care of. And by the way, you can't afford a lawyer right now. We'll get you one of the best. Isn't it interesting? Lanny Davis is a professional fixer. He's fixing for the fixer. He's a Washington spin maestro. He's a principal in a top Washington Democrat PR firm and a principal in a top Washington Democrat law firm. Stephen, he hasn't practiced in a courtroom litigating for years. He's a fixer. He's a deal maker. He brings other attorneys in with him to do the actual attorney work. He goes out in front of the press. He makes deals. What we saw yesterday was a Lanny Davis screenwriting script. He got Cummings involved. He got Pelosi involved. He got everybody involved, wrote the script, wrote the questions, marched the man in there. And this poor guy, it's pitiful. Michael's pitiful right now. He's haggard. He doesn't look good. yes, he's facing prison, all of this stuff trumped up about his family being threatened. He's trying to do something for the good of the country. He's looking for redemption. He's doing this for the sake of everybody to understand. There was a deal made, and Michael was desperate, and an operative got involved. No different than what would happen in a deep state in the CIA trying to get somebody to turn to be a spy. They got this guy involved, and that connection, whoever that connector was that Lanny Davis won't name, that Cohen hasn't named, that will lead us to the source of how this thing is connected. Follow the money. That 35,000, well, your 35 times 11 doesn't add up to the Stormy Daniels hush. And to say that it was doubled in order to take care of taxes, well, you and I know, Stephen, that's not necessary. If you have income and you have outcome and the expenses are proven and he proved his expenses, where's the taxes at? I don't understand it. So in that instance, we see that the stuff doesn't add up. Lanny Davis is the operative. Michael Cohen, desperate. So if you want to understand his motivation, you look at Lanny Davis and you see how they made him into a political hack on the basis of being a fixer for a fixer. Where I come on a pastoral basis, Stephen, is the man used the words sorrow, that he's regretting, that he wants to turn his life around, and redemption. Well, redemption isn't a political thing. Redemption's a spiritual thing. And the people around him aren't going to help him to find redemption. My heart breaks in the sense that I've held Michael in my arms as I prayed for him prior to this all hitting the fan, when he was distraught about making an income, having to set up his new office, finding his path, doing some things. Little did I know where he was dealing with other people and outside and trying to do some things. And by the way, Lanny Davis, the Redeemer, he's been a player in Democratic politics for a long time. In 2010, Stephen, he accepted a $1 million contract to represent Equatorial Guinea, an African nation that has an appalling human rights record. And then he also took $100,000 a month retainer. This guy knows about retainers, to represent the Ivory Coast, which was then on the brink of a civil war. His public comment, when people question and say, where's your morality in this? He said, oh, I took on a couple bad guy countries that I thought I could make into good guy countries. So Lanny knows how to sell redemption, and he knows how to make money. Lanny doesn't work for free, and the people around him don't work for free. So while you may not see that he's receiving any funds from Michael Cohen, who doesn't have the funds to pay him, I'm certain there's some pro quid pro bono somewhere involved in that hierarchy that's taking care of him while he serves Michael. Michael's desperate. Michael is pitiful. Michael is spiritually, emotionally, and physically bankrupt. But Stephen, my concern is once they're done wringing him out and he's in jail, the dust will settle in. And that's when we need to pray that he gets true redemption in my heart.
Let's review this. You're saying that Cohen was all in for Trump. That was certainly my impression when I talked to him in the brief phone conversation that I described earlier. And then you said he was very upset that he wasn't taken into the Trump White House. This contradicts what he said in that statement, said he never even wanted a job in the White House. I thought it was very interesting that he basically cleared the president on the couple of things that, in fact, do you remember when BuzzFeed came out with that thing about the president had told him to lie to Congress? You know, there were people on the left, especially the left-leaning press, that were just gleeful. Finally, they got something that is actually illegal. But he very clearly said that never happened. Collusion was not a part of it at all. Yet I wondered why in the world he would bother to say that Trump was a con man or say that Trump didn't really intend to win. Listen, when I had my 10-minute interview with him on August 11th, 2016, my impression was that Trump was all in to win. He certainly came across that way. He was working very, very hard, very long hours. Someone who's just doing it to build their brand, as Cohen was accusing him, you know, they're just going to kind of take the easy way out. So you're saying that Cohen was wrong in these ways, and then you're explaining that he was desperate and somebody kind of was bailing him out or getting the second district court in New York to take it easy on him. Is that what I'm understanding you to say?
Yes, there was a pivotal moment. And I think we can put that on the calendar in June of 2017, when all of a sudden he was teamed up with Lanny Davis. By the way, when Lanny began to work with him and represent him, they still had never met for quite a while. But Lanny still accepted it, supposedly over a phone call conversation he had. Well, in a hotel room with his family in Florida, he went into the bathroom and sat on the tub and listened to Michael and said he heard him to be a sincere guy. Well, come on. Really? Lanny Davis, as seasoned as he is, talked to Michael in one moment and heard him to be a sincere guy? That's the story we're supposed to believe. He was turned in that June. Just as somebody would be turned as a spy to commit treason on their country, same tactics. I believe there was a deep state operative involved in this big web, and they brought in the hotshot, Lanny Davis, a Clintonian, by the way, goes all the way back to Yale Law School with the Clintons. That's how long he's been involved with them. I mean, it's so vivid, it's so clear that it's too hard not to believe how that conspiracy continues on. And Michael saw an opportunity to pull himself out and save it. It came with a cost. And the cost was, you're going to dump on Trump. And by the way, he was mad with him. He was embittered with him. And he determined he would take that horse and ride it. But it's not a plan of redemption. It's not a plan of remorse. It's a plan of just trying to be rescued and desperation. And he's being used as a political hack by one of the all-time fixers of this generation, Lanny Davis.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you did a video for POTUS Shield, which we've talked on my podcast and we've done other articles on POTUS Shield. You know, it sounds like it stands for President of the United States, but it's the Prophetic Order of the United States. It's a great list of people who have said they will pray and intercede for the president. I'm on the list. We get these little alerts by text message when things come up. So you've done this video. You're just putting up online. We will include a link in the newsletter that I do with this. But tell us about it. You had mentioned that it is the real truth about Michael Cohen. The devil is in the details. And you've been telling us a lot of details, but elaborate on a little bit more and what people can expect to see on the video.
Yes. First and foremost, I established that we want to have a heart of compassion for Michael Cohen and anybody that can run a real life of a redemptive plan. We don't want to lose that. We want to continue to pray for Michael. We want to continue to pray for his family. But we're also called to what? Pray and be a shield for our president and for this nation. And Stephen, I just think I'm so agitated, as I'm sure you were, and many, many people were, no matter what their party affiliation was, to see the president of the United States standing tall in the international arena against one of the most vicious military governments in the world, in North Korea. And here is Michael Cohen being used as a political hack with Lanny Davis smiling behind him, Cummins, the chairman, all in a conspiracy. Adam Schiff, to try and degrade and take this president away and say that it's in the name of our country. So for me, it's a matter of God and country in this matter, and that's what I bring out in the video and also the details that I just shared with you. And I have to tell you that I had a lot of people calling me and saying, you need to stand up, you need to say something. And I had one or two call me and say, be careful, because this is such a vicious machine. They'll turn on you. And I said, well, they probably will turn on me again, but God is my shield. And I just felt it was time to speak out and to say something with truth, and also to use a little prophetic insight on the devil in the details as regards this operative. Even it's like a deep throat. There was a deep throat that connected Michael Cohen to Lanny Davis that resulted in him being on an international screen yesterday, tearing our country down in the name of our country. And I'm going to believe God, and we're going to pray that that person or persons are exposed so we can connect the dots on what's been a deep state conspiracy from the beginning against Donald Trump and then after the election and continues on now. And we need to know. What I also say, Stephen, is this is that same conspiratorial spirit of Jezebel, Abinadab, and Absalom that I exposed 6 weeks before the election on Jim Baker's program. when the Lord had me prophesy exactly how it would go down, and I cautioned everybody, they were not destroyed. They were defeated, but they'll come back with more fury, with more strength, and with more power to destroy. And that's what we're seeing right now, that same conspiracy. We need to put our shields up. We need to be strong, and we need to remember we're not battling flesh and blood, but we're those that are called not to fight with worldly weapons, but to knock down with the spiritual weapons that God has given us.
Well, Frankie Media, I want to thank you for being willing to go in depth about this very important and very timely subject. You know, I've said before, and I'll say again, how much I admire and respect you and appreciate the way the Lord has raised you up and been able to speak prophetically into what's going on, not just now, but really over the entire period that we've been talking about. And thank you for your insights about Michael Cohen. I'll give you the last word about what you think is going to happen ultimately with Michael Cohen.
I think Michael Cohen will go off to prison in 2 months, that he'll probably, hopefully, in his mind, be able to be released on good recognizance after maybe 2 years, 20 months, as they bring it forward, that there's a hope that he'll be able to find some kind of restitution with his newfound friends. But I also believe there's going to be a moment of despair in his heart, or maybe it's me that the Lord allows to go visit him, which I would be happy to do, and to really let him find true peace, true redemption. My prayer, my heart, is that Michael discovers who his Messiah is. And he's a man of Jewish roots, and the Lord loves him dearly. But right now, Michael's in a bad state, and he's being used by political hacks. We need to pray for him. And everything that he's thrown out is not going to topple this president. This president will be reelected in 2020. And last thing, Stephen, we need to stay focused on the assignment. The assignment is another appointee on that Supreme Court. And we need to pray that this happens sooner than later, because that is the law of the land. We need to stand strong in that. And anybody who'd like to get in touch with us or be part of POTUS Shield Alerts, just please dial 313131 on your text. 313131, and enter in the message, just in lower case, just put POTUS Shield, and you'll get the alerts.
Thank you for listening to In Depth with Stephen Strang. Wow, what Frank Amidi had to say was amazing. I hope that you will call my hotline and leave a comment. That number is 407-706-8476. I want to hear what you have to say. And you can also email me at indepth@charismamedia.com. I hope you subscribe by going to iTunes or Google Play, and you can subscribe. And be sure to leave our new podcast 5 stars. Share this with your friends. Thank you for listening to In Depth with Stephen Strang. This is Stephen Strang. I want to give my listeners a special offer of getting 2 years of Charisma Magazine for only $20. This is better than 2-for-1. I hope you want Charisma in your home, where you can read it, where you can share, where you can keep it around the house and sometimes look at an article later. You know, with everything that's happening with digital, we have found that people still want Charisma in print. And I've been sharing this in my last few podcasts, and it's interesting that the subscriptions are coming in, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this offer by going to charismamag.com/2, T-W-O. That means 2 years for the price of one for only $20.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.